The World Tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Greetings. A few months ago, the nation's most famous newscaster, Walter Cronkite, moved on to other network duties. But do you know who is the most famous newscaster, even much more famous than Walter Cronkite, the most famous who ever lived? Very few people have ever realized that Jesus Christ came as a newscaster. He was the most famous who ever lived, and he brought news. It was not old news that had happened minutes or hours or days before he reported it. It was news of the future. It was a forecast. It was a prophecy for the future. His news is yet to happen even in our time, although he gave it over 19 and a half centuries ago. News from God to mankind. He came as a messenger sent from God. A message from God Almighty to mankind, and men have never understood what that message was, because it had not been proclaimed to the world for 19 and one half centuries, believe it or not. Now, I've read to you time and again how in the book of Galatians, written about 53 A.D., the church was started in 31 A.D., and 53 A.D. is only about 22, 23 years later. Just a little over 21. I guess the gospel had just come of age about that time. And yet the gospel that Christ brought, the message that he proclaimed, was then suppressed. And it had not been proclaimed to the world from that time until 1953 A.D., exactly 100 time cycles of 19 years each. I've mentioned that before. And it was news of the future. There's a prophecy about that news that he was to bring. It's in one of the Old Testament books near the very end, the last book, as a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, Malachi, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1, where it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, that was the one who became Christ speaking. He was speaking of John the Baptist, who prepared the way before him on his first coming. "And the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." Jesus came as a messenger of the new covenant. Now, Moses was a mediator of the old covenant with the nation Israel. That old covenant formed the ancient people, the children of Israel, as one of this earth's nations. It was a kingdom. It was a nation, one of the nations of this earth. And that old covenant of which Moses was the mediator formed that nation. And they were even formed, according to the Bible, as a wife of God, but a disobedient wife. But notice this, "Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Eternal," or the Lord of hosts. Now, he brought a message. What was the message that Jesus brought? His message was his gospel, and the word gospel means news. Did you ever realize that? The word gospel actually means good news. Today we hear a lot of news, but it isn't good news. The news you hear today is nearly all bad news. Of course, we hear the joke about the good news and the bad news, but today it's nearly all bad news. Nearly everything. But Jesus brought good news. But it was news of the future. It hasn't happened yet. There are better times coming. And that is the news of hope, and the only hope of this world today. Now, notice the beginning of Jesus proclaiming of his gospel. What is the gospel that Jesus preached? It hasn't been preached to the world for over 19 and a half centuries. What was that gospel? What was that message that God sent to mankind that mankind has not been hearing? You read of it in Mark, in the New Testament. Mark, the first chapter, and beginning with verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then it mentions the prophecy I just read to you, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." It continues on to speak of John the Baptist, and then dropping down to verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. But what gospel did Jesus preach? He did not preach the gospel you've been hearing most of the time. You do hear it on this particular program, but you don't hear it very much today. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Why did he say the time is fulfilled? I've explained that before. No one had qualified to restore the government of God to this earth and establish the kingdom of God on this earth until Jesus had overcome the arch devil, Satan. And you read of that in the fourth chapter of Matthew. You read of it also a little bit right here in this same chapter in Mark, and you read of it in more detail in the book of Luke. But he had qualified. And so he said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe," what? Believe the gospel. I wonder if you ever realized it's necessary to believe that gospel to be saved. And when you are saved, what does that mean? I hope I can get to it in this program. Is it heaven or is it something else? You're going to be surprised. Very few people know what the Bible does say about these things. The very word of God, the word that God sent to mankind, has not been proclaimed. It's in your Bible. It's the world's number one seller. More people have it, more homes have it than any other book. It's one of the least read. It certainly is the least understood. And it's the most maligned. And it's just falsely interpreted and changed and twisted in every possible way. Why should that be? A message from Almighty God Himself to mankind. Well, I'd like to have you notice now, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? I want you to notice one other passage in Luke, the fourth chapter and verse 43. Luke 4:43. And Jesus said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Now, many of his parables were about the kingdom of God. In his parables, he said, "The kingdom of God is like unto this, and like unto that, and like unto the other thing." Jesus sent his 12 future apostles out, and he said, "Proclaim and go, and wherever you go, preach the kingdom of God." He sent another 70 out and said, "Preach the kingdom of God." Jesus preached the kingdom of God. The apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God. The apostle Paul pronounced a double curse on man or angel that would dare proclaim any other gospel than the kingdom of God. Today you've been hearing a different gospel. You've been hearing a gospel about Christ, about the messenger who brought the message. But you have heard very little, except on this program, about the message itself. And it's about time we came to know what that message is. Now, what did Jesus mean, the kingdom of God? I have shown you that Jesus was born to be a king. I've read to you the prophecies in Isaiah. I've read to you the prophecies that the angel gave to Mary, the mother of Jesus, before he was born. That he was born to be a king. I read to you how when Jesus was on trial for his very life, he was standing before Pilate on trial for his life. And Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" And he said, "I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world." But he said, "My kingdom is not of this world, not of this time," he meant. But what did he mean, a kingdom? Now, some people say the kingdom is the church. I've heard it said some years back, you don't hear it anymore, that the British Empire was the kingdom of God. No, you don't hear that anymore, because the British Empire just doesn't exist anymore as an empire. It just doesn't. on trial for his life. Let me read that. It's in John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I unto the world. And then he said, the verse just before that, My kingdom is not of this world, not of this time, not of this civilization, not of this age. This is man's kingdom. This is the day of man. The day of the Lord has not yet come. Now, the prophet Daniel was given a vision of the kingdom of God. He knew what the kingdom of God was. And you turn clear back into the book of Daniel for that. Daniel, the second chapter. There are other prophecies in Daniel, too, like the seventh chapter, that has a great deal to do with the kingdom of God. But this has to do with the very gospel that Jesus himself preached. I'd like to begin and go through this second chapter of the book of Daniel. I can't read every bit of it, but I will give you every bit that is a link to the main thread of the story. Beginning with verse 1 in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, a prophecy and not a history. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of the Chaldean Empire, the first and greatest empire the world had ever had up to that time. It was the first world empire. There never had been one before. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherein his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to show the king what he had dreamed. He wasn't going to tell them what his dream was. They said they could interpret it if he'd only tell them what it was, but he wasn't going to do that. So they came and they stood before the king. Now, they said, the Chaldeans answered and said to the king, There is not a man upon the earth that can show this matter to the king. No human being could tell him what he had dreamed. That was beyond their power. He said, and it is a rare thing that the king requires, that there is no other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not on the earth or with flesh, as they said. Now continuing the story thread, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel, Daniel the prophet, in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel was taken in to the king, and he came in and stood before the king. He saved the life of the astrologers and all the sorcerers and soothsayers and so on that were unable to tell the king because he had threatened their lives if they couldn't tell him. Well, now Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men or the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and reveals to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now he's talking about what will be in the latter days. We are living in the latter days right now. In other words, this is a prophecy of what is going to happen in this living generation, in your time. So, listen. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed were these. Then he told him what he had dreamed. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded that anyone could even tell him what he had dreamed. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. It was a frightening thing. It was so large, as huge almost as a mountain, a very great one. The image's head was of fine gold, the breast and arms were of silver, the belly and the thigh of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till till a certain thing happened. In other words, there is a time sequence going on in the vision that the king had where God is showing him what is going to go right on to the latter days, to our time now, today, that we're living in. Now, he saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and of clay, and break them in pieces. It didn't smite it on the head, it smote it on the feet. And there is a time element here. Now, let's go a little further. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and mountain is often used in the Bible symbolically to represent a nation. A great nation, in other words, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof to the king. Now the king knew this interpretation was right. Anyone that could tell him what he had dreamed ought to know what the interpretation was. And he said, the God of heaven is revealing to you what is going to happen in the latter days. Not back in Nebuchadnezzar's time, but in your time and mine today. So he said, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. He's letting him know that God rules the universe, and that God allowed him to have the kingdom. God had given him this kingdom. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom, another government, another kingdom, nation. But it was an empire inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth, a world empire. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. There would become a fourth kingdom, and it would be as strong as iron. Now there's a great deal to this. I would like to go into detail and give you the details, and according to history, perhaps in the next broadcast or sometime later. But I will not do that today. I would give you the exact sequence of all of the things that happened. Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean Empire, were the head of gold. Following them was the Persian Empire. It was larger and greater power, just as silver is stronger than gold. Gold is very valuable, but it's soft. As a matter of fact, you get gold and it's 14 carat, 18 carat, or something like that. You don't get 24 carat gold very often, because that is pure gold and it is rather soft. So you get it with some hardening elements in it. Now, silver is fairly soft too, so sterling usually has something added to strengthen it. But it is harder than gold, but not as valuable. The second empire was the Persian Empire that followed the Chaldean Empire. You can read of that in ancient history. And the fourth empire was Alexander's Greco-Macedonian Empire. It was Alexander the Greek, who came down with a Macedonian and a Greek army, and he conquered even went over into India. He conquered much more land. His empire was even bigger, and he wept, as it is said, because he had no more worlds to conquer. However, it was divided into four divisions, and then finally rose up a stronger empire, the one of iron, the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire fell in 476 A.D. It was restored as the Holy Roman Empire, it was called, in 554 A.D. And that continued until 1814. And now it is reviving over in Europe by 10 nations. There will be 10 nations, not the 10 of the common market necessarily, but there are the 10 of the common market at the present time right now. And it will be revived in Europe, a revival of the so-called Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. And then it is going to end. The stone that will smite it on the feet is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's going to set up a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that will rule over all the nations of the world, and it will last forever. Now, the Bible speaks about Satan the devil. It's not very popular to mention Satan today, but Satan will be deposed and will be put away, and Christ will be ruling. And we will live in Christ's way of outflowing love instead of the way of incoming self and lust and greed as people are living today. Now, Jesus gave news, but it was news of a kingdom or an empire for the far, far future. It hasn't really happened yet. It was over 19 years. The gospel was suppressed in 53 A.D. It was restored in 1953 A.D. on the most powerful radio station in the world, in Europe, after it had gone coast to coast in the United States. And some of you have heard it for a long time. But now I would like you to notice another prophecy that Jesus gave in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And beginning with verse 11. And as they, Jesus and his disciples, who became the apostles, as they heard these things, Jesus added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought the kingdom of God would appear in their time and their day, considerably more now than 1900 years ago, more than 1950 years ago. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now he's talking about a kingdom. That was the message Christ talked about, a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It is going to replace the governments of this world. It started, as I've just shown you in the book of Daniel, with the world's greatest and the first great world empire, the Chaldean Empire, from 606 B.C. down through 604 and until, past 585 B.C., then the Persian Empire, then the Greco-Macedonian Empire, finally the Roman Empire. It fell. It was restored for a while. Then that fell, and it's going to be restored once again among the nations of the earth in our day. Finally, the kingdom of God is going to come and rule all the earth. Now notice, Jesus said, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. After Jesus was crucified, and after he was resurrected from the dead, and he had been crucified as your Savior and mine, he took on himself your sins and mine, and paid for them if you and I repent. And I hope you have, I hope you will. And he called his 10 servants and gave to them a pound apiece, and that represents the amount of the Holy Spirit, really, that he's given to those in this time now. Then finally, when he comes, this is speaking of his coming, at his second coming, to establish this kingdom on earth. And he said unto them, when he had come, he required what they had done with the pounds he had given them. One was brought before him, and he said his pound had gained 10 pounds. He had multiplied what he had been given by 10 times over. He had grown in the Holy Spirit. He had grown in character and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He had multiplied what he had, spiritual goods, 10 times over. He's going to rule over 10 cities. Now, we're not saved according to our works. We're saved by grace, a free gift from God. But we are to be rewarded if we get saved by our works. This man's works had multiplied 10 times over. He qualified to rule over 10 cities. That's speaking of government in a world empire. Now the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He only did half as well. And Jesus said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. He qualified to rule over 5 cities in the kingdom of God. It is speaking of a government. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God in all of his preaching when he was on earth. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Now, that gospel had not been preached for a great many years. Can I take time just to turn quickly to Matthew 24? And here in the 14th verse, Jesus said, "But this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The gospel of the kingdom had not been preached, but it finally would be preached as you're hearing it and your ears are hearing that done today. And then next will come the kingdom of God. It's coming in our time. We're the living generation when it is going to come. And if you read on, after this gospel of the kingdom is preached, then is going to come more terrible time than ever, a great tribulation, such as never happened up to this time in all of world history, nor ever shall happen. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. It says that unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved alive. No human being would be left alive on earth. For the first time, I've been saying again and again and again on this program, for the first time, the weapons of mass destruction exist today that can annihilate human life from off this earth, erase human life, and there wouldn't be a human left. We will come down to that time, and then God will step in and intervene and will save mankind from himself. Man is not able to save his own. He can't solve his problems. We can't stop all of the evils that are going on in this world. We just simply are not doing it. I want you to write in for a little booklet that I have, and there's no charge. It's something the world has not been hearing for 1900 and some years. It is a booklet on the kingdom of God. Just what do you mean, the kingdom of God? It's just a little booklet of 24 pages. You can read it at one sitting. It's not very long, but it'll go through what I just gave you and more too. It will give you a lot of things I haven't had time to say on this program. Now, there's no charge. We believe in giving, not getting. We don't solicit the public for money. We're not going to ask you for contributions. I'd like to give it to you. You don't hear that kind of thing very often anymore either. But all you do, my friends, is just send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California. That's all the address you need. Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. So until next time, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.